Suddenly, Johnny was aware of the underlying tension in all those who had come in. They were just trying to make him feel easy. Thor had received an urgent summons while he had been reading, and now a communicator rushed in with a sheaf of dispatches for Sir Robert and rushed out. Johnny saw the frown flicker across Sir Robert's face as he read them.
The situation is worse than you're letting on, isn't it?
No,
said Sir Robert.
Dinna fret yourself, laddie.
What is the situation?
Demanded Johnny. Sir Robert never dropped into dialect unless agitated. The grizzled old Scot sighed and recovered his university accent.
Well, if you must have it, we have lost the initiative. For whatever reason, the enemy has decided to attack in force.
He tapped the reports.
Singapore is holding so far, and right now has tied down about 3/4 of their forces. But they won't be tied down there forever. The Russian base is getting the attention of planes from a large war vessel. Edinburgh is getting hit. Neither of the last two places have any armor cable coverage. And up there,
he pointed,
is a huge monster of a battleship that has been sending planes and bombs down for several hours. It could also launch up to 1,000 Tulnet Marines, and we aren't that well equipped to handle an assault force by land. So there you have it. It can only get worse, not better.
Call Dr. Allen. I'm getting up.
Sir Robert tried to protest, but he finally called the doctor in. Dr. Allen did not like it.
You're full of a drug we found called Sulfa that will prevent infection and blood poisoning. You'll feel dizzy if you get up suddenly. I don't advise it.
Nevertheless, Johnny insisted. He knew they were doing all they could, but he wanted to look over the situation. He just couldn't sit still and be pounded to bits. Johnny couldn't see any clothes. A coordinator showed up with an elderly, gray-headed Chinese man.
This is Mr. Sung, said the coordinator. He's been in charge of fixing up your room. He has been learning a little English so he can help you.
Mr. Sung bowed. He was obviously pleased to see Johnny, but the thudding bombs also held some of his attention. He had a bowl of soup for Johnny to drink, and his hands shook a bit as he held it out. Johnny would have laid it down, but Mr. Sung shook his head.
Drink! Drink! Maybe so no chance eat later.
Another communicator beckoned to Sir Robert from the door, and the old Scot rushed out. Mr. Sung was getting his nervousness under control. The novelty of meeting Johnny was wearing off, and now that he was doing something, the sporadic thuds of bombs seemed less. And then a conviction came to him that if anybody could do anything about this, it would be Lord Johnny. As he laid out weapons, he began to smile with more confidence. It was true what Dr. Allen said about being dizzy if he moved too suddenly, Johnny discovered as he dressed. His arm was very sore and stiff. It was a bit hard to dress. Mr. Sung got him into the plain green uniform they all wore. He buckled the Smith & Wesson with the left-hand holster and a blast pistol with a right-hand holster around Johnny's waist. He rigged a black silk sling for his arm and then adjusted it so that Johnny could get the arm out of it fast and draw the Smith & Wesson if he had to. He made Johnny check it to make sure he could do that. Then he gave Johnny the plain green helmet.
Now you shoot them,
said Mr. Sung. He made his hand into a pistol and fired it twice.
Bang! Bang!
He was very confident now, smiling. He tucked his hands in his sleeves and bowed. If it were only that simple, Johnny thought. But he bowed and thanked the little man.
Oh.
Good Lord, he was dizzy. Made the room spin to lower his head. An unusually large explosion shook the ground. They were catching it.